Thank you again for sticking around. I'm happy to see a room this full. I forced my two graduate students to come, so I knew there would be two people in the audience. My name is Jennifer Quinlan. I'm an associate professor in the Department of Nutrition Sciences at Drexel. However, all of my research, I'm a food microbiologist, and my research has been food safety risks for vulnerable populations, particularly minority and low income, and we are just starting to look into the aging population. And so what I'm going to talk about today is access to food safety recommendations for older adults on the World Wide Web. I have nothing to disclose. And the way this came about, I'm going to spend a few minutes just laying the groundwork about why this is such an issue, why foodborne illness is such an issue for aging adults. If I go to the bottom, well, first, we know that they are at increased risk not only for foodborne illness, but more importantly for severe complications from foodborne illness. I'm going to go to the bottom first and say one of the things might be impaired senses of sight and smell, but really the bigger issue being the weakened immune system for a number of reasons. As you age, you have decreased stomach acidity, your first line of defense, so the bacteria survive. Older adults tend to have underlying disease that might weaken the immune system, and they also may be on medications that could weaken the immune system. So for a number of reasons, they really suffer greater consequences from foodborne illness. Again, just going to talk about two particular organisms that have been a particular problem in the last few years. Listeria monocytogenes, some of you may be familiar with it. It's found in unpasteurized dairy products. Soft cheeses have been a problem, lunch meats, hot dogs, and we're now seeing it in produce. There's two forms of listeriosis, invasive and non-invasive. Most of the population would get the non-invasive. You're going to get typical, you know, stomach flu-like symptoms, diarrhea, foodborne illness that resolves within 3 or 4 days. However, for those with weakened immune systems and for pregnant women, but I'm not going to go into that, they're more likely to get invasive, where you get a systematic infection. It gets into the bloodstream and past the immune system. And again, this is more likely to be the case as people age. The most recent analysis of FoodNet, so that's CDC, how they track trends in foodborne illness, found that for most foodborne infections, so this is all of them, in 2012, the percentage of individuals hospitalized and those who died was greatest among those greater than 65. So for you and I, it may be a few days with, you know, the runs and out of work, but for the elderly, this is, you know, life and death. Invasive listeriosis cases, 21% of those occurred in those 50 to 64 and 68 in those greater than 65. And so I'd say that means for most of us, that doesn't mean like there's this cliff at 65. It starts going at 50. And so, you know, our immune system weakens. But again, only 11% occurred in the rest of the population. Some of you may be familiar with the cantaloupe outbreak of a few years ago, Jensen Farms. Well, what didn't really get into a lot of the news stories was who was most affected by this. So of the 147 cases that were outbreak associated, most of those were in people over 60. The average age of those infected was 78, and of the 33 deaths, the average age was 81. So the older population was disproportionately affected by this outbreak. Similarly, a smaller outbreak in 2012 with a soft cheese, again, the average age of those infected was 77. And so the question becomes, are we getting the message to older Americans and those who care for them that this is life and death? It's not just a case of foodborne illness. Real quickly, the other organism I'll mention that most of you are probably familiar with, Salmonella, comes from consumption of raw poultry, but most of us don't eat raw poultry, so in food microbiology, we tend to think it's more likely cross-contamination of juices from poultry. But a big one, undercooked runny yolk eggs, and a lot of people of all age groups continue to want to eat undercooked runny yolk eggs. Again, recent data, 47% of hospitalizations due to Salmonella were in those greater than 60. So again, some of us might get just foodborne illness, but these individuals are more likely to end up in the hospital. So what do we tell older adults? We tell them exactly first what we tell everybody else. Clean, separate, cook, and chill. The traditional fight back up there, some of you may be familiar with. So I'm not going to go into this. What we also do, though, is have some specific recommendations. One of the things that we're trying to tell people, not on here, is that increased susceptibility, increased risk, that it's not just a case of foodborne illness, it's potential hospitalization. However, one of the unique things we tell the older adults is you should be reheating your lunch meat and hot dogs to 165 degrees or greater. This is a hard sell, I'm not going to kid you, and many people don't know it, but this is the case. I mean, we know that lunch meat kept in the refrigerator for too long, if listeria is present, it grows at refrigerated temperatures, and you're going to have a problem. We tell older adults, throw it away. Throw it away within 5 days or a week if it's lunch meat or hot dogs. And again, that message of not to consume raw or undercooked runny yolk eggs is so much more important for this population. So this project that I'm presenting was actually the work of three students, so I'll show you their nice picture at the end, that I guided through this, and they chose the internet. We understand older adults might be getting information from a number of different sources, but we do know that the internet is a source for general health information as well as for food safety information. And sometimes it's not the older adults that are getting the information, it's those who care for them that might be more familiar and be looking online to get it. So two objectives. We wanted to look first at the prevalence and then at the completeness of the food safety message out there. And we realized that people may be coming to the food safety knowledge through two different ways. They might actually be looking for food safety information, but there's a good chance they're not. They're just looking for general health information. And so we were looking at both ends of it. What is the prevalence of food safety information on general health versus food safety? And what's the completeness? And I'll show you what I mean by that on those two different types of websites. So the students identified 8 search terms, 4 of them related to food safety and 4 to general food, general health. These are the search terms. And what they did was entered each of them into Google. They took the first 20 that showed up under each, and we did find that pretty much saturated it. We were starting to get a lot of repeats. Repeats were eliminated, and then the websites were analyzed using audit tools that were created in this research. Again, I'm not going to go into these except for to show you, and this is all uploaded if you want to look at it more specifically, or feel free to use it. So we used one for food safety, one for general health, just because we were asking slightly different questions in terms of where the information was available. The websites were each assessed by 3 individuals. Once we got rid of duplicates, there were 66 general health education websites and 72 food safety education websites that were evaluated. In terms of prevalence, we were a little bit surprised by this. When we looked at the front page, we did a couple levels of analysis, the food safety information for older adults was available on 12% of the food safety and 21%. So we were actually kind of encouraged by this, that if you're not even looking for food safety information, but you're looking for information, there's a 1 in 5 chance that food safety will be on the front page. So that was good news to us. We recognize that sometimes it's not right there on the front page, so they analyzed a little further and found of those where it wasn't on the front page, that 4.7 had a tab that would link it, and if they actually searched the terms food safety, older adults, they could actually find it on another 33%. So overall, we found that 71% of the websites that we did find actually had some information. So then in terms of completeness, we wanted to look at some of those more specific guidelines for older adults. And I'd draw your attention, I don't know if I can do this on this one, I can, to these three. Mention that elderly are at increased risk, mention that eggs should be fully cooked, and mention that lunch meat should be heated. And this is the food safety websites, and they generally were more complete. They weren't completely complete. Only 50% are still telling people to reheat their lunch meat. But this is the general websites, general, and I would go and up here, increased risk, eggs should be fully cooked, and meat should be heated. So you can see they're not quite as complete on those websites. So again, conclusions is really, we think there's a need to better understand what aging adults and those who care for them understand about the increased risk. FDA thinks this as well. In fact, they are about to change they do a food safety survey every 5 years, and they're about to add some questions to that survey, and they're looking for comments, and one of the things that they're going to change is to start to ask about what underlying immune suppressed conditions people might have, or medications, or what they know about it. So I think in light of recent outbreaks that I showed you where older adults were more impacted in a very severe way. They realize we're not getting this message across. And again, that's why I'm so happy to be here to start to talk to some people who deal with this population a little bit more. And again, then better communication is needed to make older adults and those who care for them aware of some of that unique food handling, like heating lunch meat, which again is not intuitive, and to throw things away, which again is fighting the nature of the frugal mindset to make things last and things like that. So this is where we believe that there is a need for more effort. And I would thank you for your time, and I would thank Hoy, Victoria, and Erica were the students who did this work. That's them presenting at our research day. So thank you.